All right, let's bring Kevin on. Kevin Franzen, of course, part of the KMBR radio staff. And love talking ball with him. Kev, I love seeing you at the game, and we run into each other all the time. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Great college football day. Beautiful day. I'm playing daddy daycare for care for the next 30 minutes. So, yeah, it's a solid Saturday for me.
Yeah, beautiful. Glad to get you on. You know, so much going on in baseball. And Jim Barr is going to come on a little later. And it's one of those issues that I'm watching all the home runs go out. And I'm watching big pitchers give up home runs. And you know, Kershaw, Samardzija, Chris Sale, I care who it is. The ball is flying. Why is that? What is going on? You played the game a long time. Is it the bats, the ball, the ballpark, the philosophy? What's happened to baseball?
There's a lot of factors, I think. Number one, guys are throwing harder than they ever have. The old tale of the harder it comes in, the harder it comes out. It's going to go out. And I think the emphasis right now, like if you look at it, what is it, 33 guys have over 30 homers this year? How many of them do you think are hitting over 300?
Seven.
Seven. They have 112 guys with over 20 homers. And if you had seven guys hitting, with over 30, there's 19 guys. Only 19 guys hitting over 300 with over 20 homers. That's insane. So the philosophy of I'd rather strike out than do anything else and hit a homer. That's going to be the great thing. You're going to get paid for homers. That's a fact. And so more guys are taking in that, going with that philosophy. And I feel like, for me, I love the game of baseball. It is a beautiful thing. It is the thing I am most passionate about. But the hitting philosophy, the where guys are in approach, really makes me mad, because obviously I never had the power, but I thought I prided myself on trying to be a high average hitter, especially when I played every day in the minor leagues or even in the big leagues. When I played every day, I hit, over 300, but in my bench time, hitting over 250, that was a good year. I didn't ever think about hitting the homer. I was trying not to strike out, because when you have that job, when you have that opportunity, that at bat, you better take advantage of it. So I feel like guys now, my mindset is completely in the minority. It's, let it eat as much as you can. I was talking to the great Frankie P. Senior, and he said, there's more 3-0 hacks with the 1-2 count than he's ever seen in his life. And I could not agree more. It's amazing that shorten up, choke up with two strikes, not happening anymore.
No, I agree. That's a great analysis. And I think Flan talked about it, and other people concur with what you said. The 0-2 count, they don't mind striking out. They'll swing from the heels and try to get it done. But the pitchers, if they know that's coming, if they know it's 1-2, 0-2, and then the guy is just going to take the big swing and not choke up and not go the other way or hit it up the middle, why are they giving up so many home runs? Because, again, I'm looking at the list of starting pitchers. Samardzija, 29. Carlos Martinez, 27. Greinke, 24. DeGrom, 27.
A lot of over 95 guys right there. I mean, minus Greinke, but Greinke can get it up 94 whenever he wants. You're talking about guys that are really, they live on elevating the fastball, making you chase down to the dirt. They miss over the middle of the plate every once in a while, but those ones over the middle of the plate are the ones that aren't moving as much.
Yeah.
We see that with Jeff a lot. You're not seeing a lot. Like, look, when you see homers off Kershaw, you don't see the ones down in the strike zone, right? You don't see those going out. It's the ones that he elevates. Elevation is always going to kill it. They talk about the swing plane and where, guys are trying to do the launch angle. And I get it. I totally get it. But at the same time, when guys are throwing harder and trying to blow it by you, where do they miss?
Mm-hmm.
They miss up. And, if you're going to elevate a fastball, especially like sinkerball guys, if guys have a little bit more discipline, down in the strike zone and not chase after that, and they elevate it, those balls can fly.
No, so, you're right. You're right.
You're having a lot of guys with these pitchers. It's not always the hitters in the situation. These pitchers are so dang good. The amount of velocity that they show on a night in, night out basis, especially the relievers, those balls are going to fly out. You can miss hit a couple balls. I can't speak from experience, but you can miss hit a couple balls and hit them out.
Well, what's happened is the starting pitcher or the good pitchers, if they make a mistake over the plate, a lot of times that ball will be fouled back or, you know, put on the ground or popped up. They're not missing them now. Those are balls that are going out on the good pitchers that when they miss over the plate. Usually, you know, once in a while you could miss and the guy fouls it off, which still happens. But you're seeing more of the misses going out of the park from the good pitchers. And that to me suggests a couple of things. One is exactly what you said, is that they're just swinging for the home run. And number two, what about the baseball? Can you go from that many to this many in 1 year by just swinging from your heels? Can that happen? I mean, it's happening, but you think that's...
I mean, you're seeing astronomical strikeout numbers. So I believe in that. I'm not a big believer in the ball. I mean, science and all that stuff, they could say it, but I'm going off the hope, the belief that they haven't done anything to the baseball, because, I mean, that they could have done that a couple of years ago. Maybe I had a couple more years in me. If they, you know, wound that a little tighter, I might have had a couple more homers. But, you know, the fact is, like, look, I think it's just a change in the time, and things will catch up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think this will last a long time because something's going to – and I have no idea what it is that's going to change, but the philosophy of guys not worrying about strikeouts and hitting homers, guys throwing as hard as they can, especially from a young age, trying to throw harder and harder and harder. I mean, we're going to see this for a couple of years. And you know, maybe next year they're going to top this. But I just can't really get into the baseball belief.
All right.
Because for me, it's a pitcher's excuse. It's not a hitter's excuse. I don't think you've heard a hitter complain about one time about the ball, correct?
Well, of course.
It's always the pitcher.
Yeah.
Right. It's always the pitcher. And no matter what, the non-athletes on the field, the pitchers, they're always going to complain about something. So.
All right, very good. All right, Kevin Franzen with us. How do the Giants join the party? Because they've got 120 home runs and other teams in the league have 200. As Dave Fleming says, a home run's worth a run and a half. And you're giving up 90 to 100 runs to a team before the season starts.
Yeah, see, look, the ballpark's not going to be conducive to a 40 home run hitter like maybe every year. You'd hope every once in a while. You know, since Bonds, obviously there hasn't been much power, but I feel like they're in a situation right now where, yes, they have to act on it and they have to figure out what type of power hitter do we need. Look, my power hitter is a doubles guy, homers guy, 20-plus homers with a lot of doubles, which we need to see more of, especially with these gaps. And a guy that's going to drive, like, he's a perennial RBI guy, a guy that's going to sniff out a hit with a guy in runners in scoring position. I mean, it's something that I feel like I don't look at Brandon Crawford's overall year as far as his average or home runs. I look at his RBIs because that's the one thing that he has gradually gotten better or stayed consistent at year after year after year. And to me, you know, his RBIs being a little bit down, I just want more protection for him, for Buster, obviously. But I want a guy that's going to drive in runs. I don't care so much about the homer. I want guys that drive in runs. Now, if it comes via the homer, I am in. But I just don't think they have more problems defensively right now than I ever thought a Giants team was going to have with this core group of guys. And I think that more than anything, you solve the outfield defense with a couple guys that could drive in some runs. Now we're talking. You got to get guys that get on base to help out those guys get on there. So a center fielder I talked to you about it last year. I thought a guy like Kevin Kiermaier from the Rays or Kevin Pillar from the Blue Jays is great defensively in center field. Obviously, Lorenzo Cain's going to be that big-ticket item that everyone wants, but what about a Jerod Dyson? You have to think about where the Giants are financially. Are they great? Yes. Do they have a lot of cash? Yes. But how do you run a good business? You don't just keep on giving it away and expect to have a great business. You know, you got to keep on bringing that in and not giving everything away to all these players and all that stuff. So they're going to have to get really creative. I'm actually really excited to see what Bobby and Brian Sabian and Dick Tidrow and all them could do this offseason, because there's a lot of things that they can accomplish. I feel like if they do a couple things and go about like the defense and then, you know, get that power guy. But my power guy is not so much the 40 homer guy, because that's, you know, that's not going to be the case at AT&T Park all the time.
Well, you need a guy who can hit it out, or especially a right-handed hitter, and I think that's been one of the issues. Where do you stand on Pence and Span? fitting into 2018. What do you do with that? Because that seems to be the sticking point. If they were not here, it'd be a lot easier to try to fit something in, but they are here and they are getting some money. What do you do with those two?
Well, I mean, to start out with, they're well-earned money that both of them got. You know what I mean? Like, they deserve that, earned it, and, well, that's where they're at with them. You know, Hunter has had spurts this year where you look at him and you're like, man, I just don't think he's healthy. I really don't think he's been healthy the entire season. It's just something's been up his legs. He hasn't been in his legs and is hitting, you know, up at the plate all year. When he has been, we've actually seen him do damage. Now, with Denard, being a former teammate and a good buddy of his, I'm a little bit more disappointed in the way he's played defense this year and just a little bit the inconsistencies. He's such a quality person and someone that I know could do the job so well out there, but yet he hasn't. And his numbers keep on, you know, going down and down. So it's going to be interesting to see. Is there a team that they could trade one of those guys to? Because trading one of those guys is going to be key, I think, in this offseason. Mm-hmm. You know, a young team that might need a veteran presence, you go after Hunter, but Hunter means so much to this city, to this organization, and that's a fact. And that's why it's hard to give up on a guy like Hunter. So the more I look at it, a guy like Denard Span, who has, you know, he's proven with the bat a little bit this year that he still can swing it. His legs maybe not so much right now, but it would be the guy. I think Denard would be the guy that would be able to go a little bit cheaper. And I just think out of, you know, how the Giants treat, you know, great Giants, and Hunter Pence has been nothing short of a great Giant, and I feel like they're going to give him his due, and that's keeping him around.
Well, they may have to because of the money, but they're 40 games out, and they're chasing four teams now, not just one. So
no.
Sabian said it. Look, Bruce Jenkins had the article. You know, you guys talked about it. You and John talked about it. Sabian had the article this week talking about that they've got to think outside the box. The window may be closed on this group. So they've got to dramatically do something. But we got Frank Paul Jr. here.
What's up, Franny? How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
It's good talking to you. So, Franny, I told everybody here, all but right. I have to tell the story on air. So,
all right.
I was in high school, and every single day from high school, I'd look at my glove, and I'd look at some batting gloves, and I'd be like, okay, you know, I'm a big leaguer, son. I have great stuff already. I am blessed beyond all belief. But every now and again, a baseball fairy would leave a front porch on my doorstep, and it was Kevin Franzen, and he would send me batting gloves, baseball bats, and brand new mitts. And, you know, Franny, I've sent you a million text messages. I've told you in person.
Oh, yeah.
I still cannot thank you enough. And this guy, he cares about the game of baseball, and he's always taking care of me, and he's always got the best stuff. So I just had to thank you in front of, obviously, the audience at KMBR. All
right. Well, dude, anything's going to happen for me towards you, because your dad treated me the same way that I treat you, you know, and it's easy. That's what the game of baseball does. It keeps on giving back, especially from young to old, old to young. It doesn't matter. And you're just happy to be, you know, thanks.
Kevin, you don't understand. It's really taught me to give back. I had a host family down when I was playing junior college baseball. So I'm playing in the California League, and now I give all the stuff that you gave me to them and passing it down. And I still have all the stuff you gave me. So I just want to thank you on air. It's all great stuff.
All right. You're the man.
Hey, thanks. Come on. I don't have anything. I didn't get anything here. What is this? It's my show.
All I see is you sitting on the bench. I don't see you out in the field playing, you know. So.
All right. Hey, last thought for you. And you're doing a great job, and I love talking ball with you. I look forward to doing more of that with you.
No doubt.
Where do you stand on Pablo? And I know in Twitter we had something going back and forth today. I wasn't sure why I was in it, but
I don't know why they put you in it, but
Andy and I talked about it. Jenkins talked about it. Everyone has an opinion. He's had a better week, and he doesn't cost any money. If you bring someone else in, it's the same money. Do you keep him for next year or not? What do you do?
I think I've seen enough. I just personally think that, you know, there's a certain people that you need to move on from. They did. I thought they did a good job in letting him go to Boston in the first place, because look, if you're going to look at the same amount of money, I don't care about the tax issue on his end. If you're looking at the same exact contracts and he chose Boston over choosing San Francisco, then so be it. Am I bashing on a guy that's a three-time world champion? No. It's a fact where he is now. He's had, what, 8 hits in his last 4 games?
Yeah, he's hitting the ball a little bit better now.
Marty, he's still hitting .200 on the month. And it's not we're not at the end of the month right now. You know what I mean? We're midway through the month. That's pretty telling to me. I haven't seen enough. I don't really think I've seen enough to say I want him back.
Okay.
But that's me having a personal opinion on it. Is that set in stone? No, I just don't think, you know, what he has brought to the table has been enough to say, you know, we're going to give him that shot. We need to have him back. They've already taken enough steps back. You know what I mean? And this season, and being 40 games under .500 is a huge step. But adding pieces that might slow you down in your development of guys or bringing in guys, now, that's the big question is, what are they going to do? What would be the answer at third base? Is it Arroyo? I don't know. If they trade – if the way panic's been hitting right now, this is the greatest thing that could happen to the Giants, is having a hot panic at the end of the year for the possibility, because he is one of my top 3 favorite Giants right now with Buster, Crawford, and him. I don't want to see him go, but if you think about the value that he would bring back for the organization, I mean, Arroyo slots in at second base. I mean, or you know what I mean? And you can go out in the free agent market, find a cheap right-handed bat that goes at third base. I've always said Todd Frazier. I thought that would be a great pickup.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, there's a couple answers, not Pablo.
Okay.
But I understand people's love for Pablo. I get that. But at the same time, look, it's over. That time of the love affair and all that stuff is over. He's a world champion. He'll always be a Giants world champion. He'll always be a great Giant. But that's it. I think I've seen enough.
All right. Very good. Look, you know, you don't mince words, and that's why you're on the show. And you're doing a great job. And look, Andy talked about it. Jenks talked about it. You did. And it is a topic, so I'm glad we got your opinion on it. Well, thanks for coming on. What's your week looking like? What's up with you?
No idea yet. We're still waiting on Tom, and hopefully everything's starting to get better. And
good.
You know, I think this week I'm on for him until I'm told.
Okay.
But, yeah, we just got a lot of good stuff. Obviously, the Niners not playing on Thursday. We don't have to worry about them on Sunday, and you know, hopefully we see a Raiders win on Sunday Night Football against the Washington Redskins.
Beautiful. Well, thanks, Kev. Thanks for taking
Marty,
the time.
Marty, who's your World Series champion? Who's your World Series? Who's your champion?
Well, I said a couple of weeks ago, Cleveland and Arizona. I think Arizona's
way off. You're way off, Marty.
That could be.
Hey, Frankie P.
What?
That's Frankie? The Nats.
Yeah.
The Nats are taking it all.
I like that.
Could be.
I got the Nats.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to – the Cubs – no, look, let me tell you something, and we didn't get to this, Kev. We'll have you on again, but before this thing ends up here, before the season ends up. But, boy, these playoffs are going to be interesting, because I think you could ask 20 people who they like, and you're going to get 20 different answers for the World Series champion.
Marty, I'm going to say this before I get off. I'm sorry. I know we're going over the clock, but who cares? The fact of the matter is, Washington, like in 2014 when I was there, we were the best team in the National League, and we got the Giants. Giants came in and beat us, right? They just absolutely just beat us. We didn't have that extra jolt at the end of the year. We didn't have that, you know, some of the – this next week when Bryce Harper comes back, there's that jolt that team needs to get going into the playoffs, and it's going to be something special, especially for the D.C. area. And, hopefully FP Senior will be hoisting a World Series trophy and talking a lot.
Well, I know what he does when they win, champagne on the mound. I've seen that from him before. All right. Hey, thanks, Kev, as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Marty.
All right, that's Kevin Franzen. Oh, it's a pleasure to talk ball with him. All right. Boy, what an afternoon, huh, Raph?